This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because, together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
What? Oh, I thought you were, okay.
Well, yeah, you know, that's kind of, it's not like you have a very high.
Dave needs to plug in his headset. And now.
I was yelling at you, and I'm thinking, God damn, how come he's not listening? Because I didn't have my phone.
Say something to me.
Are we on?
Loud and clear.
Oh, I wasn't live, was it?
No, you're good. You didn't say a cuss word, so you're good.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you said Dane.
Run that back. Let me play it about 12 times.
This is
Hey, folks. Welcome to KCBQ AM 1170.
The answer.
That's right. We got Audrey in the room. She has a cold, and she's been working on it, but, you know.
No, she's on her way home from the faraway desert.
I just figured a little more scotch, and she'll be good to go. All right, this segment is brought to you by, let me get to my first little hour here, and that would be, you'd think I'd have this memorized, wouldn't you? Imperial Valley Chrysler. You know, they're helping me out. Isaac, he's the general sales manager. My wife's cousin's daughter's looking for a Jeep. We have not been able to find a Jeep for her for like months. I called Isaac's up. I says, I want a 23 black short wheelbase automatic with a hard top. Two days later, she's going over there Monday. Pick up a brand new Jeep.
He got one
and
for her.
It's a straight invoice.
So
MSRP.
They didn't mark it up like the others were doing.
Not a dime. They are just the coolest people in the world, folks. So if you're looking to get... I should go over there and buy a TRX, but that's another story.
Ooh.
IVCDJR.com. IVCDJR.com. That's Imperial Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram right there in El Centro. Also, Alpha Site Logistics. If you're out cleaning up like Audrey was doing this morning, then you need somebody like Alpha Site. They've got the dumpsters. They got the clean trailers. They got the wash stations. They got the restrooms for boys and girls. Check these guys out. Go to Facebook at Alpha Sites Logistics, or you can call them at 760-352-8383. All right, Audrey's on the road burning gas. And
yeah.
Oh, she did make it. Oh, okay.
So I could call you.
Hey, Audrey. Yeah.
She's standing there with one hand on the antenna and the other one in the air. Where are you?
I'm at 247, leaving Johnson Valley, and we just went through one of the canyons. So
okay, cool.
I dropped the call.
All right,
but I should be good now.
How's the cleanup?
It was actually spectacular out in Johnson Valley. I'm impressed how well they tried to clean it, but I'm a little disappointed in a lot of the spectators. I think because a lot of the camping areas were pretty thoroughly crossed. But the main areas, like Backdoor, Chocolate Thunder, were pretty well cleaned. You had to really scavenge the rocks to find trash in those areas. So I'm impressed with what, you know, King of the Hammers did to an extent, I must say.
Right.
Because surprisingly, we got two trailers full and three truck beds full of trash out of it.
Wow. That's a lot of trash.
Yeah.
Mercy six.
Yeah. A little over 50 volunteers showed up, and it was a great time out in Johnson Valley. Perfect weather. We couldn't have asked for better.
Very
so
nice.
The Clint's project did an amazing job.
Good. Did you cook for everybody? Because Ed did.
They had a taco guy, Desert Taco. He's local out of Yucca Valley and Joshua Tree. He's opening up a new restaurant in Yucca Valley named Desert Taco. but he also does catering and events and stuff. Donated. He came out and he cooked tacos for everybody for lunch. And then one had donated breakfast burritos for everybody in the morning.
Right.
So that, yeah.
Are you moving or are you moving or are you stationary?
No, we're moving right now. We're on the 247.
Keep moving because you keep breaking. And I don't care what you say. I'll take I'll take one of Ed's glorious hot dogs that he cooked yesterday. Hot dogs and hamburgers?
Yeah.
I'll take his, over a taco, but that's just me. Hey, why don't you do this? Yeah. Why don't you call us back at 12:30? Let's see where you're at.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, kiddo. Drive safe. All right, so that sounds like a pretty good. Now you've been to Johnson Valley, right?
Oh yeah. I used to ride Observe Trials, and we had lots of events over at the Cougar Buttes.
So you didn't do a lot of King of the Hammer stuff?
No, yeah. I never was into the heavy four wheel drive.
I mean, you should see all the people. I mean,
I've seen the pictures. I can't believe
it's like Burning Man. You know, that's how many.
It's
people
like a
show.
City, and yeah, I remember when it was just a small thing. Wow. And I can't believe how much it's
grown. Isn't that funny how they were all small things at one time? Or they were all sitting around a fire and saying, hey, you know what?
That's how it started. That's what he said.
I can get out to that sunset and back here before you can. Oh, yeah, so, well, hold my beer.
For the people that know, that don't really know how it started, Johnson, King of the Hammers, was a desert race that combined rock crawling and open desert high-speed going.
How
because
fast
they'd
can you
never
go?
Really done that before. Mm-hmm. Like before, it was desert racing was just going fast on the open trails
and getting to point B faster than the guy behind
you. And they would lay out a loop, and it would all be high. Like when I desert raced motorcycles, we would average 60 miles an hour.
Right.
The whole thing. Like there's a couple slow spots.
And people may not understand 60 miles an hour, but I trust you. Go down the same track.
Like with whoop-de-doos and stuff.
And I guarantee you, if you can average 20 miles an hour, you're going to be pretty good, and you're going to be happy with the end result. But, yeah.
I remember doing 100-mile desert race, finishing in 2 hours,
yeah,
including three pit stops.
That's just insane. That is just totally
insane. And the slow spots.
But King of the Hammers, you're right. It just turned out. First, it was just a regular Baja race, but in California. And then all of a sudden, it just said, yee-haw. And off it went. And now let's try
really
crawling
big.
Over these boulders and see what.
And there's a number of trails in Johnson Valley that have that are very difficult, and they have names like Jackhammer and Sledgehammer, Chocolate Thunder. So the Hammer trails, they would run the desert race through these trails, and they're difficult to go up. You need to have all the mechanical advantage of, mm-hmm. of big tires and differential locks. And low gearing and be able to crawl over it. And then when you finish with that section and you get back to the open desert, you need to go fast. Mm-hmm. So it's a significant challenge to the people who build these vehicles.
Well, here's the thing that makes me crazy. And I don't know how you would feel if it happened to you. And I don't know how I'd feel if it happened to me. But you're going into one of those boulder areas and you get stuck.
Yeah.
And a guy behind you just drives.
He's mad.
No, he drives
for traction
over the top of you and down. And, you know, I mean, okay, you know it's going to tear the lights off of it. I doubt it would bend anything because you're
What about the humiliation of being driven over?
But, I mean, I mean,
who cares about a light bar?
How would you feel somebody drove over the
horrible.
Top of you?
It would be horrible. And there's not room to pass in there.
No, that's the whole point.
That's like it's a single file.
So you've got
the
pressure.
Over the top.
You've got the pressure. I got to get through or I'm going to get.
So, like, do you go fast because you're racing or do you go slow so you can make sure you don't get stuck and have to back up and it's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
So I'm going to go next year. I've never been to King of the Hammers.
You've never gone.
It's during the week. I have a job and
hey,
I use my vacation for other stuff.
Go as media. That way.
That'll be great.
Yeah, but you got to set it up early.
It's expensive. It's like $100 to get in there.
That's what I just said. You got to go as media.
So going in there,
we ought to make you a media
and as land
tent.
Use. I think they would let me in just because of my land use stuff that I do.
No. You want to go media, then that way you get to go to a special area. You've got places to.
I get punching cookies.
You get punching cookies. You got televisions to see what's going on within the. Yeah, yeah. Trust me. Once
so
you've done
I plan
it.
To go in. Like I use my vacation to go to Sacramento and at these other meetings and stuff. So I don't. I can't just.
And then
anyway,
while you're there,
and I'll sign up for Veterans King of the Motos.
Right. Absolutely. Why not?
They have a motorcycle race they've added that goes through hard terrain.
Sponsored by San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio.
That would be great.
Get you a shirt and a pair of pants with the logos on it, your helmet all custom painted. I mean, I don't know why you can learn to think big.
That's what I have you for.
We will take care of it.
You do the big thinking.
You were all decked out. You had I'll a do bike the big with riding. All the one of your vintage bikes all wrapped. We know with SD.
If I'm racing there, it's not vintage. It's going to be a modern new bike.
Oh, you wuss! All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio. We got this plan almost put together. Big thanks, monster thanks to Fire and Ice Heating and Air Conditioning, the Ashley family in Lakeside. They've been doing HVAC since 1983. Check these guys out. Family owned and operated. They truly care about you. In fact, if you get another estimate and you think it's a little on the high side, give Fire and Ice a call at 1-800-400-FIRE. 1-800-400-FIRE. They'll take a look, come out, and if the other estimate is better than theirs, you got it. And if you're military senior citizens, it's all good. And Wayne Miller Tire, 619-596-2800. That's 619-596-2800. Tires, wheels, alignment, brakes, shock, suspension, oil changes. Oh, yeah, that's right. He sells tires. Check him out. Wayne Miller Tire. All right, we are talking here off air, and we're going to get Ed all juiced up for King of the Hammers.
We have so much fun off air when we
talk. He's going to be in the old man class.
He wants to put me in the King of the Moto. So I'm going to go to King of the Hammers next year because I'm going to be retiring this summer. And Dave thinks I can get in as media. I think that's
awesome. Absolutely. We'll have that.
They also will let advocates come in sometimes.
Yeah. What's an advocate?
An advocate, someone like me that is
Right. Somebody that,
that works on helping off road, they'll let me
in. They won't be nice to you. The media folks, they'll be nice to you.
Okay. And I might even try to do the King of the Motos race.
Why not? That's what I'm
saying. Because I'm double the age of the average racer.
My point exactly. So, no, I mean,
what's the worst that could happen? They beat me.
All right. Here's.
If I beat a couple of them, haha.
So now I'm going to ruin your day.
Thank you.
If you had a choice of motorcycles to ride in the King of the Hammers, what would it be?
I think I would go for a Beta 250.
Okay, so
like
what?
The one I rode.
If I got you a Beta 250 for the event?
I would cook you a steak.
Think about
medium
it.
Well done. Okay. With the right seasoning, I'd do whatever you need.
So what you need to do now is because you met the Beta people, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Send all that information to me and let me do the rest.
And then you handle, because Dave has a marketing skill that is way above.
Because going over there, you're just a wannabe. I really want to ride your motorcycle. Can I have one, please, just for a couple of days?
Just for a couple of days.
See, but I'm going to sell the sizzle, not the steak.
That
and you're
same
gonna
bike
benefit.
That I test rode, it gets used by media.
Tell them I'll take that
magazines.
One. I'll take that one.
You know, we'll just put a new piston in it, another chain and sprockets. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, if you're interested, and I'm going to leave this up to you, you got to send me the info, and I'll take care of it.
Okay.
Well, and then we'll put them on KUSI. Where are they located? You know where they're built?
Italy. They're Italian motorcycles.
Okay, so there's
got to
be.
US
yeah, there's
got to
be.
Are.
Okay, but hey, that's exactly who I'm going to reach out to.
But my buddies owns the shop, Steve, in Kearney Mesa.
Okay, then we'll
C&D
use him.
Cycle Center.
And he can help us get a bike.
So he knows the
because they get media
He sells a lot of Betas. They really like him.
I've not seen one, and I need to get one I need to get Clint August to go get a Beta.
Okay.
I don't like riding at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning at 40 degrees.
Really?
Too done. Hey, you wait. You're going to retire.
The coldest I've ever been is on motorcycles.
I know. You and me both.
And I used to surf in the winter.
I know.
And I couldn't operate my keys. I was riding in the rain. I was heading out Highway 15 and then 38, and it's like I'm looking at my shield, I'm in the rain, and like, wait, that's not water, I think it's snow.
Okay, I got a better one than that. 1965 Honda 305 Scrambler.
I know it. Yeah,
I drove it 100 miles, 50 miles one way in Northern California when it got down to be 30, 32, 33 degree.
There's no wind protection on that bike.
All the way to work. And I was dressed to the hilt. I literally shook for 3 hours. No, it doesn't matter. It got right there. I did that for a year.
After that time, I stopped in a diner, and I begged, can I go stand in the kitchen next to the next to the stove?
So did they cold. Let you?
Yeah, they did.
Isn't that the damnedest? No, people have no idea.
Town of Mojave.
Now, granted, with the new clothes that are out now,
you can do so much better. Well, so I didn't have any money. I couldn't afford it.
Well, of course not. Yeah, you know, I mean,
they have heated gear. You get an electric vest, electric pants, electric gloves.
Hey, did you ever see that inflatable vest?
Like MotoGP, those guys wear inflatable. No.
This is for the touring guy. This is a guy who gets on his bike, and he puts his vest on, and it's really nice. I mean, you don't look geeky. You can get them in different colors, black, you know, black leather. And then there's a tether, and there's two CO2 cartridges in the bottom of the vest, and you put the tether underneath, you know, the bar that comes down from the forks to the back of the bike. So you fasten it. And then you go off and ride your merry way. Heaven forbid you come off the bike and fall off and you detach.
Those things
inflate. It pulls those CO2s, and the next thing you know, you're the muffin man.
You're the Michelin tire man.
But the downside to it, and I think this is why they're not very popular, after a 150-mile ride, you pull into a gas station.
Oh, and you just step off the bike and a podunk. Oops.
Blow up.
I didn't mean to do that.
I know. So, and I have one. I have one with the aerosols, the whole bit.
So in MotoGP, they have vests like that.
Well,
but they
it
have
took them long enough.
But they have accelerometers that read if you hit a certain force, they inflate.
Right. Well, don't you think they should have had that a long time ago?
Well, I mean, technology. They should have had seatbelts in 1914,
well,
but they didn't.
True too, yeah. Well, that's too much money.
So yesterday I was in the desert. I went to a cleanup.
You went to Ocotillo Wells, didn't you?
I was at Ocotillo Wells. So Clean Desert, which is different than Audrey's Desert Cleanse.
Right.
So Clean Desert helped put it on with friends of Ocotillo Wells.
Gotcha.
And we had like 400 people. It was an awful lot of people. So Adam from Clean Desert puts it on, and he has a full-time job. And he does a couple of big cleanups a year, the Ocotillo Wells one. And he does one near Barstow in Stoddart Wells, which is an area that gets a lot of trash. But he has really great marketing skills, and he's able to get a lot of people to sponsor and donate stuff. And he has a raffle that goes on for like an hour and a half, giving away stuff.
Wow.
And so people come out of the woodwork to win
the
like
prizes.
All this great stuff. It's really amazing. And
do you have to buy a ticket?
No, you have to pick up trash.
And then he has all this cool stuff.
His guys buy the dumpster, and every time you throw a bag in, they give you a raffle ticket.
Oh.
So it's a very closed raffle. There's not that many tickets, and only the people that are picking up trash get the tickets.
Does the trash bag have to be a certain size?
It's kind of loose. And
I mean, come on, load that thing up.
I know. I was telling somebody, like, oh, did you go to the far away dumpster? On the other side, fill it up and bring
another bag. Bring the bag back.
But I went riding around during the event on my motorcycle, and I saw people like in way out there. They're picking up trash, and it was really great.
Wow!
So remember, we had the reflector project last year. So we have reflectors left over. So I threw some in a backpack, and I went over to look at a fence that I had camped near last year, and I was thinking, well, they put a brand new fence up and
no reflectors
and there's nothing on it. And so like, I'm going to put some reflectors on this fence. So I go over there and a lot of the fence isn't there anymore. Some vandal.
Or
know,
just drove right through
people.
It because they couldn't see
like
it.
The posts were there, but the wire wasn't there to hang it on. But it was down on the end. So I put some over there. So it was, I believe it's mitigation for a solar facility in the area. Mm. People just don't like fences. I mean, why? What are you protecting? It just makes me crazy.
I know.
So then I talked to the superintendent of Ocotillo Wells, Steve Q. His last name is hard. And I said, can I put some of these on some of the fences in the park? There's a lot of smaller areas that are fenced off in the park.
Mm-hmm.
They have a responsibility to protect resources. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the finger quotes in the air.
Right.
We don't know exactly what's in there. It's ARC stuff or biological mm-hmm. or water. And he goes, well, let me take one to my people and we'll talk about it. So then which is fine because he's the boss, but he's not the expert on every little thing.
Right.
So I go right over to one of those fences and it has these rectangular yellow things, reflectors, like between each post. Like they're really well reflected over there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not upset and I probably won't even put these over there.
Right. 'Cause
they just don't. They just don't need them. They picked up a lot of trash.
So he hasn't gotten back to you yet on the reflector you gave him? Or
No, I just gave it to him yesterday. I'll hear from him later.
Gotcha.
But I don't think we're going to really do that.
Because they're pretty well reflected.
I was surprised how... I asked him before I'd gone and looked at him. I know there's fences there, but I didn't realize they had that good of reflectors. So I'm happy about state parks doing that. So Friends of Ocotillo Wells got that Fish and Wildlife grant a month or two ago, and they use that money to buy the food for the participants.
Mm.
So I volunteered to cook for the people.
So
me and two other dudes.
Oh, good.
One other guy is just like a friend, and the other one was a lifeguard. So I don't know if you knew that Ocotillo Wells, in the wintertime, when they need additional staff on the big weekends, and this is a big weekend, so I came home to be on the radio here, but I was out in the desert. It's President's Weekend. They get lifeguards to come help them.
Really?
So lifeguards are really busy in the summer on all the beaches, but in the wintertime, it's not so busy. And they're state employees. There are state lifeguards.
Yeah.
So I was talking to the guy, and he works in northern San Diego County from San Alijo up to Carlsbad.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a little slow at the beaches, so they come out and help in Ocotillo.
Oh, cool. So he gets sand between his toes.
whether he's in the desert or at the beach.
Isn't that funny?
So he was helping with the hot dogs.
Yeah.
And I was flipping hamburgers.
Yeah.
I have my own spatula I brought with a long handle because I know sometimes.
You've done this before. You got to be good with that. You'll flip one of them bad boys on the ground.
I dropped one in between the things and
See?
It went in.
Yeah.
But Ocotillo Wells has a barbecue that's a trailer. It's like it's big.
You use it?
So, yeah, we use that.
Oh, wow.
This was a partnership with state parks.
Gotcha.
Ocotillo Wells likes us to do that. Friends of Ocotillo Wells got the grant. They got $1,200. And they bought all the food.
Wow.
So, like, I don't know, 500 hamburgers, a lot of hot dogs,
yeah, sodas, chips,
all that
plates,
stuff.
Plates, napkins, silverware,
yes, or all that.
Plastic.
We didn't get any drinks, though. I thought we would have got some soda or something.
Or water. Nothing else.
There was some water, but, like, not a lot of water.
To feed the troops. All right, let's take a quick break. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by PRMI Mortgage. Chris Wiley is a phenomenal guy when it comes to mortgages and, you know, refis, military loans, you name it. He is an expert. He's been doing it for more years, and he allows me to tell you, 619-722-1303. Check him out before you make any mortgage or, you know, home business decisions. Also, SNS Off-Road Magazine. Man, I'm telling you what, if you're an off-roader, you really need to jump on SSORMAG.com. That's SSORMAG.com. Get all the latest news, what's going on out in the desert. Maybe you're looking for a buggy, parts, pieces, services. Maybe you want to read a couple articles on what's going on between Sacramento and Glamis. It's all right there. S&S Off-Road Magazine. Then go to www.ssormag.com and become part of the family.
I got my March column in on Friday.
Good man. Good
got
man.
That in. I also sent him a write-up on that beta test day.
Oh,
good. I don't know if she'll run it or not, but it really was fun, and I enjoyed it a lot, and I hope people can share some of my enthusiasm.
And it was just a 250, right?
I rode 8 different size motorcycles.
Oh, okay.
I like the 250 a lot, and I like the 500 a lot. And there was a lot of niche sort of bikes. There's a 200, a 250, two different 300s, 350 four-stroke, 390 four-stroke, 430 four-stroke, and a 500.
Okay, so guess you know what that means, don't you? Maybe I'm this month.
Talking to my accountant.
We're going to bring the guy in on a 1 to 2 hour, and we'll just do an hour on this particular bike with the guy that owns the shop that gets that allowed you to go.
All right.
And so we'll give him a complete hour to talk about the bike, and then he'll be happy. He'll get a copy of it. Then when I say that we want to sponsor King of the Hammer, we want you to provide the bike, and we'll provide the media.
Love the way that works.
My wheels always turn. So anyway, so you got some bills. Are you going to make us happy or sad?
Well, a little bit of both. Did Audrey call back? We were hoping she would call back. I don't know where she is, but she's probably on the highway.
On the highway.
Behind a mountain. So in California, we have a legislative cycle that is for each year. And bills can be introduced beginning early December until later February. And the federal government, you can introduce bills anytime throughout the cycle. But California is a little bit more regimented. So we're now at the end of the bill introduction deadline, and we found four bills that affect us. So we're going to talk a little bit about those. The first bill gives me a lot of heartburn. I'm really upset about this. It's just like a needle, like they're just needling us. It's AB 411, and it has to do with RTP grants. RTP is Recreational Trails Program. So RTP, that money is federal money. So when you buy a gallon of gas, 18.3 cents goes to the federal government, right? And then California, like 50 cents, around 50 cents goes to the state.
Right.
So that 18 cents goes to Washington. And they've determined that a little fraction of that money is burned with off-road vehicles. And so they should be able to get some of that tax back to help them. So the RTP program takes an appropriate amount of the fuel tax that's federal, and it sends it back to the users through a grant program. In California, the people that manage state parks grants also manage RTP grants, and they distribute money. I have a friend, Randy Banas, who runs Friends of El Mirage and Friends of Jawbone. He has gotten tens of thousands of dollars of RTP grants. He's gotten like hundreds of thousands. He's bought heavy equipment, like big tractors, to help. By the way, the BLM gave up management of those two open areas, and those two friends groups do the on-the-ground managing of those BLM areas.
No kidding.
It's really amazing. And that really came about by Ed Waldheim. And now Randy Banas has taken over what Ed was doing. So it's really amazing what the RTP grants can do. And so in state legislation, they say, well, they already said that $7 million of the RTP money needs to go to Environmental Enhancement and Mitigation Program. Yes, you heard me.
Yeah, wow.
That's not off-road. I need to find out how much we get each year, but that's a lot of money in a grant program. So this bill is going to push that $7 million up to $10 million to this Environmental Enhancement and Mitigation Program. So that's a lot of hunk. I can't say bad words, but it really pisses me off. So we're going to vigorously oppose this bill at every step, and hopefully we can kill it.
Wow.
I'm really pissed about this one. I haven't been this mad about a bill in a long time.
Wow. That's amazing.
So that's...
$3
million just...
And just think what they could do with this money.
Think like a piece of really good heavy equipment. I don't know, $30,000 or $40,000.
Yeah,
like you could buy like a nice piece of heavy equipment,
secondhand,
and you know, you can do things.
Sure.
A water truck? What's a water truck cost? Yeah. $30,000,
$40,000.
And then a guy to operate it and a place to park it, someone to work on it. Yeah. So, okay, we want to water trails, like the in and out dirt roads.
Right.
And maybe that could be.
Could be a fire retardant source. You know, 500 gallons of water.
You know what? Maybe this money could be used for that. That just occurred to me. That they could buy a water truck and water some trails.
Absolutely.
So there's that. Okay, so there's another bill, and this one has me a little perplexed. This is SB 503, and I opened the bill text, and two commas were removed, and another word was changed. And it's in the part of the state code that has to do with off-road vehicles, the 38,000 area. So I called the author's office. It's Marie Alvarado.
Okay.
So I called her office. I go, hey, I saw this bill was introduced by your office, and I don't understand what it does. What are you guys doing? And so I got bounced around, and I got to the right person, and he said, oh, this is a placeholder bill. It has to do with license plates on cars, but we don't have the exact language yet. So I don't know if I believe him or not. But he said, we just wanted to put it in the vehicle code somewhere. So the off-road vehicle, like there's a lot of vehicle code in the CCR, California Code of Regulations.
Right, huge.
So there's like, you know, a lot of pages. And there's a small portion of that is the off-road vehicle stuff. So they put this, it's called a placeholder bill. So like, let's say you want to do something legislatively, but you're not exactly sure how to word it, but you'll know in a few months for something,
right.
changes or
so
whatever.
So in other words, the bill has no
So it
no
doesn't
text.
Do anything.
And it except has no changes, text at this point.
But it's going to get amended, and they're going to put language in there, and it's going to do something.
So they're just getting their foot in the door.
Exactly.
And then once they...
So you got that. You hit the nail on the head. They're just getting their foot in the door. They're going to have the bill, and they can do stuff with it.
And the reason they put it in the off-road vehicle was...
Well, because it's part of the driving code. It's part of the vehicle code. And I think it's weird that they put it by our area.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I just think it's weird. And so we're going to watch it, and bills get amended all the time through the cycle, and so we're going to watch it for amendments.
Well, let me ask you this.
Why do they pick our neighborhood instead of the other neighborhood?
I don't know. And don't they have a miscellaneous file or a pending file?
No.
Why do you have to put it in somebody's...
Like, because there's I don't know the vehicle codes that well, but there's another place that talks about license plates, and why they didn't put it there, I'm not sure. But... I looked at the district.
You know as well as I do.
Well, I looked at the district, and I think it's more of a right-leaning district. It's more to the east of the state. So I'm not sure. So we're going to watch it. Who the heck knows what they're going to do with it? I hope it either dies or they do something with license plates.
I'm sorry. I just can't trust Sacramento.
Oh, my God, no.
I just can't. And when you do stuff like that that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, putting a bill into, you know.
And it gets done, and a lot of legislators will do that just so that they can, you know, if some need arises partway through the year, they can amend it to whatever they want. But this is it's a little fishy. So we're just going to keep watching it, and who the heck knows what's going to happen. So SB 708, the red sticker bill. So the red sticker program was ended by the air pollution people in 2021.
Right.
That was the last year you could register a racing motorcycle to be used on public land. So 2022 and now 2023 motorcycles, there's no provision to get registered through the Department of Motor Vehicles. You can't get a pink slip. You can't get a sticker.
No registration.
You can use it on private property.
So let me be a devil's advocate for a moment.
They're allowed to sell it, but they're not allowed to have it registered.
So what percentage of race bikes that are sold that qualify, let's just say for the red sticker, if they'd let you have it, actually you're ridden on the street? What would you think?
Zero. On the street?
Yeah.
Or what just, about in the desert?
No. If I go down and buy this race bike, you know, and just never go to the desert, never race it, just go drive on the street with it, why would anybody buying a race bike buy that bike to ride on the street? I don't think anybody does.
Well, they're not street legal.
But you didn't buy it. you personally did not buy that bike to ride it on the street.
Correct.
So they're trying.
Nobody buys them to go on the street.
So they're putting a law in where the user wouldn't do what you're saying they're going to do anyway. So why do you, why will you not?
They don't want to operate it in the off-road either.
Oh, I didn't realize it expanded to the off-road. They don't want them in the. They don't want them in the desert. They don't want them
on public land.
So they basically just don't want them. Period.
So they allow them to be sold because they can be used in competitions.
Great.
But they can't be used on public land.
I'd ask him. I said, "Have you been to the desert, man? It's a everybody out there is competition. I mean, I don't care where you ride. You go to the bathroom, it's competition.
I'll race you to the.
Yeah, right.
So there's a and last.
So that thing's still bouncing around.
So this is the fourth year that Brian Jones has tried to introduce a bill to allow these racing motorcycles to be registered.
Right.
Last year, it made it all the way through the meat grinder of the legislature.
Right. Then DMV says, oh, no, it'll cost millions.
And the DMV made a grossly
exaggerated
estimate of what it would cost to implement the program.
We'll actually have to work a 40-hour work week.
I kind of sat down and looked at this, and I think it could be done for $200,000. And the DMV quoted $10 million.
Well, of course.
And I think my $200,000 is grossly overstated.
Yeah, I was going to say. Hey, go order a toilet from the government. Let me see what you're going
to do. So it made it all the way to the governor, and Governor Newsom vetoed it. He vetoed our bill.
Did he really?
Yeah. I was really surprised.
Why would he veto it?
Because he didn't think it was a just spending of $10 million of our program money to the DMV. And I think somebody got to the DMV and made them push the...
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
Could you justify that $10 million?
The DMV is one of those agencies that's almost like a rogue nation. They're very difficult. It's a very difficult agency to work with.
All right. Let's take a quick break. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hey, this segment is brought to you by the Wise Ox Butcher Shop and Pantry. If you haven't been to a full-blown butcher shop, this is a place to go. The food is absolutely impeccable. You can actually get lunch there, or you can go to one of the many Trident restaurants in San Diego County. Just ask them. This one's located at 2855 El Cajon Boulevard, Suite 1. Check them out, the Wise Ox Butcher Shop in North Park. Thanks for the support. All right,
we're talking about the red sticker bill, right. Mm-hmm. And the first time we ran it, or Brian Jones ran the bill, he allowed it to die when COVID was disrupting the legislature.
Right. Not much you can do.
Not much you can do. I can't remember what happened the next year.
I think it didn't get as far.
But last year, the governor vetoed it. So this year they adjusted the language. Last time, multiple times, it allowed for racing and practice for events.
By the way, folks, we're talking about the red sticker race bikes that if you buy it today, you'll get no stickers, no registration, and you'll get nada.
These are off-road racing motorcycles.
Correct.
So the language is even simpler this year. It only allows you to compete in sanctioned events. It doesn't say anything about practice. It doesn't say anything about anything else. So we'll see how it goes. I suspect it's going to make it all the way through the meat grinder again. And I don't know what Newsom has stored for it. If we can get the DMV to give a better estimate of the cost, the bill has a chance to make it. And it's very unfair that you're allowed to buy this motorcycle, but you're not allowed to register it. And then there's another whole problem with these, that lots of people who have bought 2022 and newer bikes have actually gotten red stickers, even though they weren't really.
Jeez, is that our DMV?
Wait, the same people that gave us that outrageous quote, $10 million to create a program that should cost about $100,000.
Which just goes to show you It's just processed with all of the rest of the registrations and stickers and plates. It just folds into it. Okay, if it was 10, 20, 30, it doesn't make any difference. If it may take you a little longer to get whatever it is, but how is it costing you any more money? You're still doing, let's say, 50 a day. I don't care if you've got 50 in the box waiting to be done or 200 in the box waiting to be done. You're still only doing 50 a day.
So the DMV has to go into their database, their computer, and they have to add code that says, oh, and here's another place where you can do stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Code.
Computer code.
So enter.
Sharp guy could do it in a week or two. So if a sharp guy makes, I don't know, $120,000 a year, $140,000, so what's 1 or 2 weeks of that guy's salary? Plus benefits, like $10,000.
They're not user friendly. Have you ever been to a DMV?
Oh my God. I am so glad that you can now change your registration on the internet.
I like it even better that I have this little tiny shop. It can't be more than 10 feet by 10 feet by 10 feet.
I know.
And it's a little walk in there. Two lovely ladies in there. They're all happy. They're bubbly. They're upbeat.
I bought this gas trials bike, and I got to register it.
Yeah.
So now, for my whole life, I had to go to the DMV.
Right. Now you don't have to.
Now, so I go online and I'll find it. And I get to the point and I hit okay. And they say, sorry, this motorcycle, you can't register it online. You have to come in. I'm like, oh my God.
Here we go.
So I went to the place, like you said, there's one in my neighborhood.
Yeah,
in a little strip mall. It's
yeah.
a small place, and I go in there, and she's very nice, and she goes and starts doing it, and then she hits the same wall. She's like, oh, okay, hang on a minute. And she picks up the phone, and she calls someone, and then somehow everything works, and I get registered. And I say, well, who did you call? She goes, oh, I called the software company. So she buys software that does DMV stuff. And she called them, and they figured out how to
give her
how to fix whatever was wrong. Because it's a Spanish motorcycle, and I don't know.
But that isn't that cool?
It's wonderful,
and it's little independent shops like that.
My fee was $65.
Yeah,
and compared to going to the DMV,
you'd have paid it twice. What are you kidding me? I hate the DMV.
All right, so we hate the DMV, and I sent Tony Atkins a letter about my disappointment with the DMV.
And what'd he say?
She's the Senate pro tem, so she's like the top of the state Senate, and she's my personal senator. She never got back to me, but she did do stuff to the DMV. I saw a few months later that she was working on fixing DMV problems.
Do you ever
problems.
Click on the box that they have to acknowledge that they've opened it or read it?
I don't. I'm sure they do. That's a good tip.
That's a good tip, especially if it's somebody that you really want to hear back from. Because let's see if they even open it. Because
what's hard about that is when you contact these legislators, and you do it off their website, you're sending a message on the web. So you don't, it's not like an email where you can tell.
I know, and you don't know where it's going. You don't know who's going to be dealing with it. Because they may have a room of people that just deal with it.
Interns that start with it.
Yeah, that's exactly.
They barely know what they're doing. And then, this looks important, I'll send it over.
Yeah. Well, it's just almost, this is totally off the record, totally off the subject, totally everything, but it just dawned on me, and it's just a tip to throw out there. So I've got Cox, for my internet and my computer.
Yeah.
So I buy their top of the line tech service.
Uh-huh.
I think it's $30 a month, something like that. So I had a problem and I didn't call them. I called the regular Cox service line.
Mm-hmm.
Got this lovely lady in Bangladesh. They couldn't even say my name. And I realized I had the wrong number. Hung up, called the other one. Perfect English. And picked up on the third ring. And done
20 rings.
And done within 30 minutes.
Some of the call support,
I just
barely speak English.
That's why I pay the extra.
And the shadowy sounds.
You can hear everybody.
The other stuff in the background. Yeah.
So I told this lady I had to. What else did I do? I did something else. I said I want to give. Oh, they were checking up to see how I said I just want to tell Steve. I said that guy is amazing. I mean, if he's not running one of your centers here pretty soon, I'm surprised. She says, well, if you'd like to give a compliment, absolutely. So they sent me this email, and I filled it all out.
Nice.
Because, you know, you don't normally do that. You know, if you're mad, you'll write letters till your fingers
normally
bleed.
When you're mad, you write.
Yeah, but when you're happy.
Most people on Yelp are like, oh, yeah. I'm so mad at this.
Yeah, but you can't do that. If you're going to be mad, you gotta acknowledge.
You have to balance it with some happy and some good.
If somebody does a good job or does a good service or takes care of you, that's one thing. So anyway.
Okay, so one more bill before we knock off today.
Yeah, yeah.
AB 1617, it's for recreational off-highway vehicles. In a An ROHV is like a side-by-side. That's there's a section that defines them, and it defines them as it has a steering wheel, like not handlebars, has a steering wheel,
right.
And you sit in a seat. You don't straddle a thing. You sit in a seat.
Gotcha.
And in the legislation or previous, it defines them as having an engine displacement equal to or less than 1,000 cc's. So 1,000, like we never thought there'd be a side by side with more than 1,000 cc's. So there's various rules about these things.
So what do they want to do?
I'll get to that. So they have a rule. The most obvious one is that you have to wear a helmet in these things.
Okay.
So we don't make you wear a helmet in a dune buggy or a Jeep off road, but in these side by sides, you need to wear a helmet. And there's been a large number of people having head injuries and fatalities when these things turn over and they whack their head on the on the roll bar or the ground. They don't have
adequate safety gear.
They don't have windows.
Yeah, no windows.
They
no
have like
nets.
A lap. They come with a lap belt, but they turn over all the time.
3-point. I think it's a 3-point, isn't it?
It's a 3-point.
Yeah.
It's just like a lap belt with a shoulder strap, one diagonal, not the both. So what this is going to do is it's going to remove the 1,000 cc limit. This bill. And why is that? Because Polaris came out with a 2000 cc one. It looks exactly like the 1000 cc one. And so these guys are in those, they don't have to wear a helmet.
Oh, that's not. You know, wouldn't you wear a helmet?
Oh my god. I watched a guy flip one of those, like they go over easy. Yes, I would wear a good helmet, just one of those cheap ones.
All right. Next week, come on back to STRIC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit sdorc.org. That's sdorc.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.